This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your host, Sherry Herrera Day for a Fry, mom, composter, gardener, entrepreneur, and Dr. Bug Lady. My guest this hour is the accomplished Mace Vaughn, Circe Society Pollinator Conservation Program Director, and I am just delighted to have him on the show with me. We are going to cover a lot of information, so if you have questions about bees and other pollinators, he's the person to ask. Throughout the show, if you have a question about our topic or any other gardening or farming topic, you can give us a call at 855-660-4261. When you call in with a question for Mace or myself, you'll receive a raindrop mason bee house. It's easy to hang, and this house is designed to ensure proper drainage and to offer proper protection from the elements. It retails for $69.95, and it's yours when you call in during this hour with a question for Mace or myself. The number one more time is 855-660-4261. Mace Vaughn was born and raised in St. Louis, Missouri. His passion for insect conservation started with keeping honeybees after he graduated from the university in 1995. After discovering the diversity of bees and other insects visiting flowers in upstate New York, he was hooked on the amazing diversity of these animals and the critical services they provide: pollination, pest management, and food for wildlife. His passion for education and conservation led him to work for the Circe Society, the oldest invertebrate conservation organization in the United States, which for more than 40 years has worked to protect wildlife habitat by focusing on conserving insects and their habitats. Mace has led Circe's pollinator conservation program since 2003 and served as joint pollinator conservation specialist to the USDA Natural Resource Conservation Service since 2008, and in his time at the Circe Society, the pollinator conservation program has grown from a small pilot project on California farms to an $800,000-a-year program implementing pollinator conservation projects across the U.S. Supervising 9 pollinator conservation specialists across the U.S., he now oversees the largest pollinator conservation team in the country. Mace has written numerous articles on the conservation of bees, butterflies, aquatic invertebrates, and insects, and he's co-author of one of my favorite books. It's a new publication called Attracting Native Pollinators, Protecting North America's Bees and Butterflies, as well as the Pollinator Conservation Handbook. He is the lead author of Farming for Bees, Guidelines for Providing Native Bee Habitat on Farms. He was a lecturer on honeybee biology and beekeeping at Cornell University, from which he holds master's degrees in entomology and teaching. Mace has conducted research into the behavior and community ecology of insects, and he's even worked as an insect wrangler and bee expert for PBS Nature. I don't normally give such a long introduction, but this man has done so much. I think it's well worth everybody hearing what he's done. And now I would like to welcome Mace Vaughn to join me on the Easy Organic Gardener. Hi, Mace. How are you doing today?
Hi, Sherry. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Say, I've got a little bit of a cold here this morning, so I apologize. But I'm so delighted to have you on. And by the way, Bob Bug says hello. I had a nice visit with him on the phone yesterday, and he said, oh, he's a great guy. He's wonderful. And I said, well, I said, I don't know him personally, but I'll tell you from what I can tell, you are incredible, and the amazing work that you've done. And I just want you to know, I have had your book sitting on my coffee table for about a year, Attracting Native Pollinators. I just love it. It's amazing what you've done and how you put it together. And so I highly recommend it to everybody who's listening today. You need to get a copy, because it's the tell-all. It's beautifully illustrated and put together in such a way that you really have an appreciation for all these invertebrates. So anyway, Mace, thank you. I appreciate you going to so much trouble.
thank you. No, I mean, that book is 10 or 12 years of work all combined into one. So I really appreciate that.
It's really beautiful. I mean, the pictures and the other things. I want to make a plug for the Xerces website. Xerces, that's spelled Xerces.org. And it is a beautiful website. I was just sort of, you sort of get paralyzed looking at it because there are banners at the top of the site and all these different insects and, I mean, beautiful, not just insects, but other wildlife as well. And the pictures are gorgeous. Who took those pictures? They're amazing.
We've got a fantastic team of volunteers who offered us their work, and we also have a lot of talented people on staff, so a lot of those pictures are ours from just people that they've taken in the field when they've been out working. So
just beautiful. Oh, my gosh. So let's get right into it. Everybody wants to know bee collapse. Let's just quickly talk about that. We need to know about it. My son wrote a paper in college about it, and so I know that's the big topic. Tell us, what is going on with the bees?
Well, it's interesting. Like the story in terms of our understanding hasn't really changed in the last probably 2 or 3 years, where we still believe that with the honeybee, when it's collapsing, when we see this thing, this phenomenon called colony collapse disorder, it still looks like the causes of it are a combination of several different factors, from diseases, new and old, parasites that have been introduced over the last 25 years that weaken bees, pesticide use in the landscape, and nutrition. Just behold the diversity or the lack of diversity of flowering plants that provide diverse pollen and nectar for honeybees has been demonstrated to weaken their ability to cope with pesticide exposure or to cope with disease, much in the same way if you don't get all the vitamins and minerals that you need, then your body is weakened and unable to fight disease. With the honeybees, it looks like the same is going on. And what's actually pushed us over that tipping point to where we have this interesting phenomena where in colony collapse disorder, the honeybees just flock from the hive, literally disappear from the hive over a very short period of time, is still unclear. We still don't know exactly what tips colonies over that. I find it fascinating that we still don't know, but that it looks like it's just all these stresses in the environment.
Sure makes sense. I mean, with the environment is definitely stressed, and the diversity is probably one of the biggest issues because we have lost so much diversity, and with monoculture, and then of course a lot of some people are talking about genetically modified crops, that type of thing as well. And so I think it's, you can't really point the finger at one issue, but you certainly could make a good case as you mentioned for all of these different things. I mean, I think that everybody is very concerned about it. You know, bees are indicator species, and if we don't protect our bees, we're going to be in big trouble.
I think that's right. And one of the things that I found most interesting from all this is that there are opportunities for all of us to take action, even if it seems small. We can all play a role in sort of increasing the resilience of our environment to be able to support not just honeybees, but all of us, the thousands of native species of bees that are out there in the U.S., not to mention the butterflies and all the other important invertebrates that are critical for feeding wildlife and keeping our gardens and our farms productive.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things that we're going to get into. I'm looking at the clock, and we've got about 45 seconds before we have to go off. So before I get you into a really big question, but I think that the most important thing here is that we're not just talking about the bees. We're talking about all the other insects that do pollinate. It's not just bees. I mean, flies pollinate. It's just simple old Musca domestica. And so even though we don't think very highly of flies, I mean, they're part of the whole picture as well. So it's such a diverse group of wildlife that are so important to pollination. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, Mace, and when we come back, we're going to start getting right into the heart of our conversation and learn some more about those pollinators. So for those of you who are listening, give us a call if you have a question at 888- 1-855-660-4261. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issues, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Everybody.
everybody. This is Sherry Herrera de Fry, and you're listening to the Easy Organic Gardener, EASY, Environmentally and Sustainably Yours. My guest today is an amazing person, Mace Vaughn. That's Mace Vaughn, and he is the co-author of an amazing book that I just can't stop looking at. It's called Attracting Native Pollinators. It's beautifully illustrated, and it's not just about bees. It's about all kinds of insects, and the pictures are amazing. Anyway, and he also was the lead author on a book called Farming for Bees, Guidelines for Providing Native Bee Habitat on Farms. And I know a lot of you are very interested in this topic, so definitely go online, and if you need to get those books, I totally recommend them. Mace, welcome back.
Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about diversity of pollinators that visit our gardens and farms, because we were just talking about, you know, just common flies, we actually got cell flies on occasion. We grow them in our insectary, but we sell them as pollinators for crops like carrots, for example, and onions. And so, and I noticed in the book you talk about that too. So let's just talk about the diversity that so our audience can really understand. We're not just talking about bees. We're talking about a lot of things.
Yeah, well, if you wouldn't mind actually digging first deeper into those bees, because I think most people, when they think of bees, they think of the honeybee, for sure, which is a, you know, European species that was brought over in the 1620s and really important for honey production and crop pollination. And most people know about bumblebees, and there are 50 species of bumblebee all across the United States, but there are almost 4,000 species of other bees that are out there. And the diversity is, I find the diversity to be fascinating. There are sweat bees, there are metallic green sweat bees, there are sunflower bees and longhorn bees, squash bees, resin bees. There are just dozens and dozens of different types of bees that you might see in your garden. So when you go out there, some of those insects you might even think are flies actually are, you know, sometimes tiny little bees that are out there visiting those flowers. And so for me, that's one of the things that I find pretty interesting, is that there's this huge diversity out there that's in many cases providing most of the pollination. I mean, bees, that whole group, are really providing the bulk of our pollination in the United States. But you're absolutely right that there's also this tremendous diversity of flies. There are hoverflies, and there are flowerflies, and there are, they call them tachinids, and there are any number of different fly species that are out there that are also visiting flowers. They're not nearly as good pollinators as the bees are, but they're definitely pollinating, and in crops like carrots or onions, even that common housefly, is, as you were discussing, has become an important pollinator in those fields. And one of the things I find really interesting about those flies is that while they're not particularly good pollinators, in most cases, many of them provide all sorts of other benefits. Many of those flies, those hoverflies, for example, when they're larvae, when they're crawling around as little larvae on plants, they're actually eating aphids, and they're really important for pest control. So a lot of people plant small flower plants around their garden to have more, say, flower flies there, providing pest management. And then you've got the beetles. There's a whole diversity of beetles that visit flowers, from soldier beetles and lady beetles, which similarly are there. You know, they do a little bit of pollination. And so many of them are also providing pest control, which is kind of fun. And then you've got our wasps, which everybody hates wasps. And, you know, for good reason. They use the yellow jackets and the hornets have got a bad reputation for coming to your barbecue. But those same wasps are also providing some pollination, and most of them don't bother you. Most of them don't want to sting or are very reluctant to do so. And most of them are feeding on aphids and caterpillars and all sorts of soft-bodied insects, even scale, that they're collecting off of plants and also doing their part for pest management.
I love wasps. We grow them in our insectary, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, yes.
And you probably grow tiny little parasitic wasps.
We do.
Most people don't even see, but these, if you've got stink bugs, or if you've got Japanese beetle, if you've got all sorts of other pests in your garden, they're also out there. And what they need those flowers. When we're creating a habitat for pollinators, those tiny little parasitoid wasps will go and feed on that nectar in those flowers and allow them to lay more eggs to do more work in our garden.
Yeah, it's amazing the diversity out there. It's a multiverse. And, unless you really get out there and spend a little time, you don't really, I think people don't appreciate it as much as we might, particularly, because we have sort of this generation of people that forgot how to garden. You know, our parents were the first people to have canned food and frozen dinners and that type of thing. And they forgot to show us how to garden, and so there's such a mystery about what's going out there, and you just need to sit and watch because there's so much going on, and it's beautiful how it all fits and folds together. Every little piece has a part to play, and it's just, sometimes I just think, how does it know? How does it know to do what it does? It's amazing. It's so beautiful. So, when we talk about habitat, because you just brought that up here, one of the things we recommend for gardeners is that they do plant habitats, and farmers as well. For the last 20 years, we've been talking about refuge crops and bio-oases, and of course, this is Bob Bug stuff, from way, way back. He's absolutely one of my heroes, along with you as well. And I'll tell you, this whole idea of habitat is something that's beautiful. It supports wild bees and honeybees. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, the habitat question is a really interesting one because you're right. People have been looking at it, particularly from a pest control perspective, going back to Bob's work, in the 80s and then for, decades before that. And what's been interesting is that there's always been that steady push to have that habitat there, but it's only been in the last 15 years. And in fact, Bob Bug, in a way, kicked off this research by introducing Claire Kremen, who's a MacArthur Genius Award winner at the University of California, Berkeley, who was our original partner in working on habitat for pollinators and ag landscapes. And Bob is the one who connected her with farms that were interested in studying the role of wild habitat and wild native bees in crop pollination. And what we've discovered over the last 10 years, 15 years, is that habitat in our farm landscapes, habitat around our gardens, is resulting in enough wild bees in many places to actually provide all the pollination service we need. Now, if you've got a huge monoculture of 50, 100, 200 acres, you really need to bring in honeybees to pollinate 200 acres of almonds or 200 acres of blueberries. But though any place where you've got, 40-acre fields or fewer with habitat and wildlife habitat in the surrounding landscape, those farms are getting a lot of pollination. In fact, most farms in the eastern United States, they're 20 acres or less. Typically, they're divided up by woodlots and subdivisions and odd areas and fields and old fields. Those crops, those squash crops, those watermelon crops, those blueberry crops, cranberry even, they can get almost all the pollination they need from the landscape.
That's what we like to hear about, is that, it's a perfect way to reduce our reliance, on the honeybees. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking some more about bees and habitat with Mace Bond. Don't go away.
Need help with pest control? Don't use synthetics. Grow naturally. The solution is Arbico Organics. They offer a complete line of products for your organic home, garden, yard, farm, horse, livestock, and pets. They're affordable, effective, and will provide the results you have been looking for. Go to www.arbico-organics.com or call 800-SOS-BUGS to speak with Arbico Organics Specialist. Be sure to order your free Arbico Organics catalog.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know. The credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417. Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. Now there's finally a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP. And right now, you can try Transcend absolutely risk-free for 10 days. So call now, 1-800-962-2358. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. To receive your 10-day in-home trial, call MiniCPAP.com now. 1-800-962-2358. Again, that's 1-800-962-2358.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
You're listening to The Easy Organic Gardener. This is Sherry Herrera de Fry. My guest today is Mace Vaughn, and we're talking about pollinators. He is the author, co-author of Attracting Native Pollinators and main author of Farming for Bees, and heads up the Xerces Society for Invertebrate Conservation. So if those of you who are listening, if you give us a call, if you have a question, the phone number is 855-660-4261. And if you call in, we're going to reward you with a raindrop mason bee house. So it retails for $69.95, and it's yours when you call in with a question during this hour. Welcome back, Mace. This show goes by so fast, you know. We were talking about the habitat, and you know, I think it's so important that people realize it's something that you can plant, whether you're a small gardener or a large farmer. I mean, we work with very large farmers that are planting habitat to support wild bees as well as honeybees. And as you were saying, there's a multi-pronged approach, because not only for the support of bees and the wild bees, as well as for defense from pest insects, which is another benefit. And then there are others, not to mention, you know, in certain cases, it's weed suppression and whatnot. So habitats are really important. One of the things, though, that's really critical that I think people are so concerned about as far as this bee colony collapse issue is, what about pesticides and the impacts that pesticides have on bees, and what are we doing to reduce the impacts?
That's a great question. You know, obviously, pesticides, particularly insecticides, are designed to kill insects. And so if they are not used with pollinators in mind, they are getting out of the environment and they're killing, easily killing bees, wild bees, honeybees. They're also killing other beneficial insects. So we've been working at the Xerces Society pretty hard to help educate people about how to reduce those risks. We also have some pretty significant concerns, particularly actually with, at the moment, with home gardening, in that today you can go to your local garden center, you can go to Home Depot, you can even go to small locally owned shops and take off the shelf bottles of 12-month, plant insect protection. And these are that include these systemic insecticides, these neonicotinoid insecticides that get taken up into the plant tissue by applying it in a drench around the base of the plant. And the worry is that this comes out, and this insecticide actually comes out in the pollen and nectar of those plants, actually providing poison food to these bees. And there's been a lot of controversy around these products. But one area that's not been discussed are these homeowner products where there's no warning on the label, where the application rates are 10 to 60 times greater than what's allowed in agriculture. And we may be creating rose bushes and backyard apple trees that are actually poisonous. There's data, there's evidence from the literature, from research that demonstrates that when applied at allowed rates, which can be quite high, the nectar and the pollen that is produced by these plants is in the toxic level range. Not sublethal, not subtoxic, not below, but actually in a toxic range. And so it's important for homeowners to know that and be careful about what products they're picking off the shelf.
Yeah, that is the thing, because people always, more is always better. And so, as you're saying, not only are we talking about something that's higher levels than what you would find, say, in large agriculture, there's nobody to police in a way how much is being used. And the other thing is, many of these products, you really have to look at the labels, seriously look at the labels to understand that they have an impact on aquatic animals as well, and so it's not just the bees, but it's others, and so every part, it plays a role. And when we begin to harm one, everything else is in the chain, and it begins to collapse as well.
Exactly. I think that's exactly right. And we're also facing a situation too where not only homeowners but farmers too, as we look at resistance to pesticides in farm landscapes, more and more often people are applying insecticides without any sort of an integrated pest management plan, without any sort of a really, really thoughtful approach to how they're addressing their pest concerns. Growers, farmers are busy people and they're trying to balance a lot. And so I believe we really need to do everything we can just to help encourage farmers and other landowners to really be thinking about these issues and help them find strategies for managing pests, but in a way that has as little or no impact on all these other beneficial insects that are out there.
It's really true, because we, from the very beginning, we would always talk about how when you use a spray, a synthetic, particularly a synthetic spray, but even organically approved insecticides, also, you instead of using an IPM approach, which you're saying, which is where you do least amount of harm first, we talk about monitoring, trapping, so we can see what we have out there as far as our pests are concerned, and then we use our least toxic methods for example, beneficial insects, organisms. That doesn't always happen, and what happens is I see a bug, I get out the weapons and I go crazy, and what happens is we kill everything. We kill the beneficials, we kill everything, and the beneficials, they do not reproduce as quickly as the pests do. And so you're on this pesticide treadmill that you can't ever seem to get off of, and it's very serious.
I think that's right. And I think you're absolutely right that, you know, these sort of secondary effects, like here you've tried to deal with one problem and you've really created another. And so much of what we need to do both for our gardens and for our farms is to, you know, really have the support from, you know, from scientists, from conservationists, from other farmers to share their stories on how they're really trying to make sure they've got all these different sort of tools in the toolbox that are, you know, allowing for some pest damage a little bit, but not enough to cause a real economic hardship. And, it's just critically important, I think, for all that, because this ultimately allows us to protect pollinators, you know, which ultimately affects the yields of our garden.
Exactly. It's everything is dependent on everything else. Even some of these organic approved insecticides, they have some serious impacts on bees as well.
They really do. I mean, there are, as you said, overall safer. But if you look at the pyrethrins, you know, the naturally derived from the chrysanthemum, you know, these products are toxic. The story I like to tell is, you know, poison ivy is an organic product, but I wouldn't want to rub that on me. In much the same way that a lot of these plants create toxic compounds that we can spray, you know, in our gardens as organic approved, but it's important to recognize that Bavaria or that pyrethrin, that spinosad, which is being used more and more and more commonly in organic farms, that these products are broadly toxic to a wide range of insects, including pollinators. And so just as for using any sort of a conventional insecticide, in much the same way we need to exercise the same caution and care with these products as well.
Most definitely. We have a caller, so I'm going to bring our caller on real quickly. And I did not hear the name of the person. Betty. Betty. Hi, Betty. Welcome to Bees Organic. We're good today. Excuse me. Where are you calling from?
I'm in Austin.
Oh, wonderful. Great. We have a good following in Austin. We've got about 25 seconds. So, Betty, what I'd like to do is have you stay on through the break, and then when you come back on, you can ask your questions. So is that all right with you to stay on?
That's fine.
Very good, because I know Mace is going to want to take the right amount of time to answer your question, and so we're going to go off the air here in about 2 seconds, so don't anybody go away. And for those of you who are listening, we are coming right back in about a minute or two. So we're talking about bees and pollinators, and we are coming right back, so don't go away.
Did you know there's a new group of water contaminants with unknown health effects? These emerging contaminants lurking in your water may include prescription, over-the-counter drugs, and new types of herbicides and pesticides. ProPure's Improve Pro 1 G2.0 filter meets NSF 401 standards to help reduce these emerging contaminants. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Neely. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-6936. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-6936. Call 1-800-958-6936. 1-800-958-6936.
Have you ever wanted
a shortcut
to getting the
underground secrets
to making money online and seriously
grow your business?
Whether it's a new business,
a part-time income,
or an existing business, you have this incredible limited offer to get a copy of this Amazon best-selling book on .com success
for free.
Uncover the success factors to make your business ignite.
Go to secretsignite.com.
That's secretsignite.com.
Get your free copy now.
Go to secretsignite.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back. This is Sherry Herrera de Fry, and you're listening to the Easy Organic Gardener, EASY, Environmentally and Sustainably Yours. My guest this hour is the amazing Mace Vaughn, and he is author of Attracting Native Pollinators and Farming for Bees, and we are having an amazing time talking about pollinators. Welcome back, Mace.
Thanks, Sherry.
And we have Betty from Texas, and she has a question for you, Mace. So, Betty, are you a gardener? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm in a condo, so I can't do a great deal. I do have a bird feeder with suction cups on my living room one, and I have a bird bath, and I grow European night crawlers and red wigglers.
Wonderful.
So I'm doing my bit to try to make the earth a better place here. But I'm curious as to what he could recommend me to do to help out the insects.
Well, that's a great question, Betty. Being sort of in a condo, you have sort of more limited options. One thing you could do that Sherry's mentioned a couple times is put up a small block, a small bee nest, where you could have some of these solitary bees, some of our solitary native bees that are these very gentle bees that live in tunnels in wood or bundles of straws. And you could put something like that up by a window, ideally someplace where there are, you know, there's some nature not too far at hand to try to encourage them to come in. And they'll come and nest in those tunnels. And you can learn about those on our website, looking at information on nesting structures. But you also, I don't know if you've got room even for a big potted plant on a veranda or on a porch, but could even
plant a porch.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you've got a sunny spot on a porch and a big pot with something simple, even like Russian sage in it, you know, a big, some sort of a plant that would get pretty big, you know, a couple, 3 or 4 feet big and tall and maybe a foot and a half or two across that has a lot of flowers. Our book has some examples, but Russian sage is one idea that comes to mind. I'm trying to think of others that might be good.
Sweet alyssum might be good. Sweet alyssum is another one. Sweet alyssum, it's a pretty hardy plant. It's not bushy, but it certainly attracts the bees. What do you think, Mace?
I think that would be nice, because if you could plant something like, let's say, a Russian sage that has a tall structure to it, mm-hmm. Sweet alyssum does a fantastic job of almost being a sort of a rolling wave of bloom just low over the ground.
I have some lantana in a big pod.
Yeah, the lantana attracts a fair number of butterflies, but the problem, your challenge is going to be having something that's big enough that is attractive, that's like a billboard. And so the lantana can get pretty big. You could think about catmint, which is incredibly attractive to a huge number of pollinators, from butterflies to bees to flies. And get something like that out there in a big pot and have some alyssum attractive around the bottom of it. I mean, even planting a pot full of cosmos and having those come up densely and tall could do a lot, I think, and be a fun thing to have just on the porch.
What could you spell that for me?
Sure, the cosmos. Cosmos is one that you can put seeds in the pot for that. Russian sage or cat mint are two others. And then sweet alyssum around the bottom is nice as well.
One of the things that we offer through Arbic Organics is a beneficial insect habitat. They're seeds, Betty. And what I'm going to do, along with providing you with our beautiful mason bee lodge, if you will, it's a little bee house, and it's really lovely. It's actually made by a native tribe in Guatemala, and it's painted with zero VOC paint, and it's really beautifully put together. So along with that, what I'm going to do is provide you a seed mix that actually has almost all the things that we've talked about in it, plus others. And what's nice about it is that it continues to, a lot of it is perennial in there, and so it there's always something blooming, so there's always a habitat for your pollinators and also for other beneficials. So that's a great way to do your part. That's a great way to do your part, and you're already doing your part, so... by growing those worms. It brought a big smile to my face, because we're all sort of vermiculture nuts, and we just love to feed our worms. You'd be amazed the kinds of things that they can, that they eat, and I mean, you get this beautiful reward, which is their castings, and they're so rich for gardening and whatnot. So keep up the good work. I'm so glad you called. Yes.
I had no idea they had castings. That's
so we're going to, I'm going to put that habitat in there for you along with that mason bee house. And thank you for calling, and call again. Let us know how you're doing, okay?
Thank you for your program. I love it.
Thank you so much, Betty. Bye-bye now. So, Mace, I love this idea of people, there you have it. There's, Betty doesn't have a huge amount of land or anything, but this is something that she can do, and it's beautiful just to sit there and watch what happens. I mean, that's the thing that, you're all of a sudden, you have a free entertainment and beauty of what you're growing.
It's true. It's possible wildlife right in your backyard.
There you go.
It's really fun.
So, we've got about... 4 minutes left, so I want to be sure that we've got a lot of questions. I mean, I have a lot of questions for you, but I want to be sure that we hear from you on, what is, I think probably what is the number one thing that gardeners and farmers can do to increase their populations of wild bees. I think that's really important.
Well, I think that's really the message I would like to leave on, which is, I think the most important thing that people can do, first off, is to plant flowers. We get a lot of questions, particularly from folks who say, hear about the problems with honeybees, and one of the first thoughts that often comes to mind is, I should start becoming a beekeeper. That's what will help protect and conserve the bees. But in fact, no, that's not. You should become a beekeeper if you want to raise honey. And that's exactly why you should become a beekeeper, if you're just fascinated with them. But really, if you want to take action that's going to have a definitely positive benefit, it's to plant wildflowers, to get more nutrition, more food out there. There's studies from Great Britain that show that areas of cities that have more abundant gardens are actually supporting bumblebees better than anywhere else in the country. And that turns out, even in the farmland in Great Britain, home gardens are one of the biggest things that's driving populations of bumblebees, and this is something we can all do. You could also put out nest sites, like those mason bee nests that we were just talking about with Betty, and absolutely make sure you're taking care with your pesticides, ideally not using them at all. Ideally, you know, looking for alternative ways or just putting up with your pests, but to plant flowers, to plant milkweed, we can be supporting all sorts of bees, but also the monarch butterfly. Looking to plant bee balm and wild bergamot, these fantastic bee plants that just swarm with these insects when they come into bloom. We really need to be doing this and letting people know. We've got a campaign that we kicked off last year with Whole Foods Markets nationwide called Bring Back the Pollinators. And if you go to bringbackthepollinators.com, it connects you with our website and all of the resources we have online for free, but also provides a link to a pledge where you can take the Bring Back the Pollinators pledge to even enroll your garden, to get your garden on a map so we can all see where people are putting gardens in the ground to protect pollinators and help bring them back to our landscapes. And right now we've got over 1,000 backyard gardens and farms that have signed up there. You can buy a sign, so you can have a signage on your garden that says, you know, I've planted diverse wildflowers and I'm being careful with my pesticides in order to bring pollinators back. We've got a beautiful sign that you can buy and put up in your garden. We're at the stage now where we've been doing for years, cheerleading and getting people excited about this diversity of wildlife that you can attract to your backyard. But we're at this really great point with our book, with the outreach that we do nationwide, the thousands of farmers and gardeners and conservationists each year, to really encourage people and help people to take action.
That's what it's all about, taking action. And, you know, each of us has, no matter how little our situation is or how big it is, we all can be a part of the solution. And I'm just so delighted. We have a quick caller, Janice, and I'm not sure we're going to get to her call or not. But Janice, come join us real quick here. We've just got about a minute.
Yes. I wanted to know what's happening about the killer bees that were coming up from the south, and how far have they gone? Are they really bad here in Texas, or have they gone on up? And I was also interested in the plants to put on the peripheral parts of the garden to encourage other kinds of bees.
That's a great question. They've stayed more or less stalled out. They've come up into central Texas. They're just they're just the same species as the honeybee, just more aggressive. And where they have moved in, cities like Tucson, Arizona, they really pushed out all of the bumblebees in that town by moving into all the nest sites that the bumblebees might use.
So, Mace, I'm gonna cut you off here, darling. Thank you so much. And Janice, I'm gonna give your phone number to our person, and we'll call you right back. Thank you, everybody. Next week we'll.
Need help with pest control? Don't use synthetics. Grow naturally. The solution is Arbico Organics. They offer a complete line of products for your organic home, garden, yard, farm, horse, livestock, and pets. They're affordable, effective, and will provide the results you have been looking for. Go to www.arbico-organics.com or call 800-SOS-BUGS to speak with Arbico Organics Specialist. Be sure to order your free Arbico Organics catalog.
Lifetime Grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com or find us on Facebook.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, There's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Are you looking to become more self-sufficient? Then you need to have your own energy source. The Solark EMP hardened generator is automatic, maintenance-free, and reduces your monthly electric bill. You can also take it off-grid when you go camping. Contact PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875 today. Portable Solar LLC gives you everything you need to start using solar energy in less than 1 hour. Solark EMP hardened solar generator energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today.